Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have back with us for his annual review, that's what I'm going to call it, Judge David Guyton, who, of course, is one of our finest on the York County Family Court bench. How you doing, Judge?
I'm doing good. It's a pleasure to be back.
So, as we always do, since we only get you here about once a year, we have to reacquaint our audience, which is growing, as our county keeps growing, with who we're talking with. So tell them a little bit about your very interesting background.
Well, I've been a family court judge for 15 years. I'm from Rock Hill, born, raised here, Northwestern High School, Furman University, then USC School of Law, and did 3 years active duty in the Marine Corps as a judge advocate. Got engaged to my beautiful wife on this particular show. That'll be married 33 years coming up in July.
Yeah.
And after the Marine Corps, came back to Rock Hill to practice law with Hugh Harrelson and Wes Hayes, and joined the South Carolina Army National Guard at that point, and retired in 2017. So that's been a little while now.
What was your rank then?
Colonel.
Colonel.
So retired as a colonel. I was very blessed to be in the right place at the right time and not get into anything that I shouldn't get into. but I have two children, Caleb, who's a captain in the Army in Fort Drum, New York.
How about that?
And daughter Hannah, who just graduated from Clemson May the 8th.
How about that?
And my wife, Crystal, was a principal forever in Rock Hill School District, and she's retired about a year now, and life is much easier.
Yeah, I can imagine your dinner time conversations while she was a principal and you were a judge could be rather interesting. Let me tell you, honey, about this person. Oh, no, you.
Yeah, if she would walk in the door and start to tell me about certain things that happened, and I had to say to her, you know, we're not at school, and you're not the principal right now, and I'm not the judge of this house, so let's just back off a little while and ease on into a conversation.
About something other than, yeah, I got you. So for people who I hope have not been had to go to family court, that's a very busy place. I mean, the caseload, I mean, in round numbers, how many cases are you all handling a year? Family court.
I think it's around 4,000.
4,000 cases.
And we may have several hearings on any one case, so there's more hearings, but I think new filings are probably somewhere in that 3,000 to 4,000 range.
So is it fair to say that keeping up with that load is a challenge every year?
It is. We get allotted a certain number of term weeks for the court that we have. So one term of court, 1 week, one judge for that. And so you got to really pay attention. Our clerk of court's office works really hard when it comes to scheduling to try to get as much in and make the most efficient use of the time we can.
Now, up until recently, you were the sole resident judge, correct?
That's correct.
But that has changed a little bit, right?
That's right. We've had Judge Chad Smith is our second resident family court judge for York County. He's been in that role for about a year now. Prior to that, you know, we had Judge Tony Jones as an at-large judge, and then when he passed away. It'll be 6 years in July.
Wow.
We did not get a local judge to replace him. It went to another county. So at that point in time, it was just me in York County, and then we had Judge White in Union. He retired last year, and we have a new judge, Sammy Damaduras, who was elected to take his place. So I've definitely got some more help now.
All right, so I don't understand at all how these terms of court work. I think what you're telling me is that you're not seeing cases 365 days a year. Is that correct?
Well, we have in family court basically Monday through Friday for any term of court we have, and we have two or three terms of court, maybe even four, a week. So that means it might be me and two other judges. That's what we're doing this week. Occasionally it might be me and three other judges. I'll get judges maybe from Greenville, Chester, Charleston, anywhere else in the state from time to time that come to York County. I'm going to start traveling some more. They're sending me to Beaufort next month. I'm looking forward to that. So we have chambers weeks from time to time, so you can kind of get a little rest and take care of non-court duties. And those are built around holiday time frames. So next week is July 4th week, and it's a chambers week. So
who puts all this together? Is there some great big brain trust somewhere that says, manipulates all the judges as to where they go and when they go?
Court administration is part of the South Carolina judicial branch, and we have a couple of people in the department who work with scheduling, and bless her heart. I mean, herding cats and herding judges sometimes is not much different on trying to make all the pieces fit.
So you have a little bit of say-so. If they say, David, we want you down in Beaufort the first week in July, and you've planned to go do something else, you have some flexibility or not?
Not really. So we kind of do what we're told. And we know when our chambers weeks are going to be, but we have to put our vacation time in a year in advance.
A year in advance.
Because, see, you got to build a court schedule around these things, and it gets tough. And we get a new court term schedule every 6 months. So, you know, from now through December, we know where each judge is going to be for that six-month time frame. And then probably in September or October, we'll get the six-month time frame for January through June of 2026.
Well, for those who are relatively new to the community, you would appreciate that the county provided a brand-new facility for the family court here 5 years ago, I guess it was, just about five years ago. They opened it on the first day of COVID and closed it because they couldn't have people around each other. But anyway, it's a beautiful building, quite a step forward from where you were and what you had to work with. And if I remember right, you've got, what, four courtrooms in there?
We do, on the second floor, and then we actually have space to build a fifth courtroom on the third floor if we need to at some point.
Well, I guess they better put that in the budget, because sooner or later they're going to need that, that's for sure.
The way we're growing, that's the way it looks.
I believe, I think I'm right on this, this goes back a number of years ago, that if somebody is filing for divorce, isn't it mandatory that they have mediation before they even get tangled up in front of a judge?
Mediation is mandatory in family court. And typically the way it works is that we usually start our private cases for separations, divorce, custody, child support, alimony, division of property with a temporary hearing in front of a judge. And at that hearing, many times the judge will say, I might say, I want you to have this case mediated within some period of time. And it has to be. And if it's not, and it's not brought to court for a pretrial hearing within 365 days, the case gets dismissed, because it's in no one's best interest for these cases to linger, especially if children are involved.
So has this sped things up?
It's definitely helped handle the caseload, because the success of mediation is pretty high, and that means that we can have a 15-minute hearing to approve a mediated agreement when they're successful, as opposed to a case that if it's not successful, it could be anywhere from 1 day to 5 days. And you think about 15 minutes or 5 days in the use of court time, we'd much rather a case successfully mediate.
So if a mediation proposal comes before you for approval, have you ever had a situation where you would say, I don't think so. This doesn't look right to me. Let's go back and try it again.
If both of the clients were represented by attorneys and they reduce the mediated agreement to writing and they sign off on it, when they come to court, it's 99% of the time that it's going to be approved. Occasionally, we'll have somebody that wants to have second thoughts and back out, and we may have to have a special hearing to determine whether they are allowed to back out or not. Because once you've done all that hard work, you were represented by counsel, you were advised, you entered into it voluntarily, you put it in writing and signed off on it. You know, it's kind of hard to back off at that point in time unless you find out that there's some fraud or misrepresentation going on.
So I think I've done enough programs with you over the years that I know how you tick. I guess your advice to anybody who's even thinking about this is to think again?
Certainly. I mean, understand there's lots of situations where people just have to come to family court, but I would certainly advise anyone who's going to come to think everything through, have a plan of action, definitely seek counsel. If you come to court without an attorney, you know, it's very difficult to represent yourself properly, and I know that there's a financial difficulty for a lot of people in that regard, but individuals who don't know rules of evidence, rules of procedure, what the requirements are in court, they're definitely at a disadvantage.
So I don't know whether you've ever had to do this, but I'm thinking maybe he has. If you were to sit down with a young couple that has starry eyes and they're getting engaged and all this kind of stuff, and they said, we just like to hear it from your perspective as to what we should be thinking about before we enter into this allegedly or hopeful lifetime commitment. Have you ever had to do that?
Not certainly since I've become a judge. I've talked to people in general, maybe some groups, but I tell people, you know, think through how you're going to handle your finances. Think through how you're going to raise your children. And certainly make sure that you know what each other's intent is as to whether you're going to have children or not. So sometimes I'll see a case where I read an affidavit and, you know, one parent has said, I didn't want any children, and the other one did. Well, you needed to rectify that situation before you got married and end up in court. So, you certainly should try to avoid litigation of all the issues of private family court cases because it gets expensive really, really quick.
I had a friend of mine who years ago had to go through what I would call a very bitter divorce. And his comment to me after it was all over, said, you know what, the best gift that you can give your kids is that you, Dad, pay for very, very complete and serious premarital counseling so that you get the issues out on the table before anybody goes to the altar and commits themselves.
It would be kind of nice to have some requirements before people got married. I mean, you have to do a lot to get a driver's license. Why not throw a few things in there to include financial counseling before granting a marriage license? It's pretty easy, and it is very sad that in today's society, there's many people who enter into marriage lightly because they know they can get out of it. They don't take it as seriously as they should. And it's just real sad to see that happen.
Well, when you put children into the equation and you come to family court, you better understand that that's going to be expensive for the spouse that is working and providing income to the family. Is there any rule of thumb as to how that works?
Not when it comes to custody and visitation. It's a very different world today than it was when I started practicing law all those years ago, because back then we actually still had what was called the tender children rule, where mom was given a legal preference under the law over dad if everything else was pretty well even. Now it's very much different, and Manning, you'd be surprised at the number of cases in which I see fathers are getting custody because mothers have in essence walked away, and sometimes it's because of drugs, or they think life is easier or better on the other side of the fence, maybe relationship wise. Used to never see that happen, and now I'd say the playing field is pretty even when it comes to the probability of who's going to get custody.
So it's no longer a preference automatically given to the mom.
No, not at all.
Boy, that's a big change, isn't it? So when you get to this whole business of child support, I remember David Hamilton, our former clerk of court, who retired a number of years ago. He instituted something I think they call a deadbeat dad rule, where if dad was a deadbeat and didn't pay the child support, that he'd be thrown in jail. And is that still around?
There's just a process that's called rules to show cause. So if you're paying child support and you're supposed to be paying child support and you don't pay it after a certain amount of time, you may very well get ruled into court. And usually a judge is going to say, well, you got to tell me a really good reason why you're not paying your support. And if you're not, then the judge may say, well, I'm going to send you to jail for 30 days, but you can purge that sanction by paying a certain amount. And so that's the thing as judges, then you're trying to find out what is that amount that dad's going to be able to come up with, or I say dad, it's not always dads anymore, but you know, to get out. And it may be that the new girlfriend or mama or somebody else comes up with it, but we have that. And we unfortunately, if we can't find someone, then we end up issuing bench warrants so that they get picked up, they're put in Moss Detention Center. And then on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday mornings, we have hearings on those particular bench warrants. And so we use our WebEx process to talk to them, listen to them. They can tell them, they answer a few questions for me, and then I decide whether or not they should get out. Sometimes we'll dismiss a case. There might have been some kind of accident or clerical error, but a lot of times it's just somebody hadn't paid, couldn't find them. So they had to issue an arrest warrant, pick them up, talk to the judge, and again, same process is try to come up with an amount that they're going to be able to pay to get out so mom can still get some money for the children.
So it's been an effective deterrent?
It's overall, it's very effective deterrent. People do not obviously want to end up in jail, but the ones we see are typically very stubborn, or they've had some either poor choices in life that put them in the position they're in. That might be they've been in jail committing a crime, so they couldn't pay their child support, or drugs. Different mental health is a big thing now, too.
I imagine. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, John Reinhart, stop talking and pay attention. We do fresh subs and salads, and we do them 6 days a week here at Substation 2. How we do it is in the white letters. Everybody chant it out together. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
For nearly 70 years, Green Funeral Home has been Rock Hill's hometown funeral home. This is Frank Green. Our family has been serving your family since 1954 with two locations, downtown and the Northwest Chapel.
Go online to greenfuneralhome.net.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Most people experience orthopedic concerns at some point in their lifetime, whether it's arthritis, back pain, injury, or any other condition. At Piedmont Medical Center, our team understands joint pain can make a huge difference in your day-to-day activities, and we stand ready to help. With minimally invasive surgical options available, the orthopedic teams in Rock Hill and Fort Mill are here to help you break free from pain so you can live more happily. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us York County Family Court Judge David Guyton, who I understand has just been reappointed,
re-elected.
Pardon me.
Legislatively re-elected
to his fourth term. Is that right?
That's correct.
Fourth term. So this whole I've always been, somewhat surprised, or I guess I try to put myself in the same position of having to go down to the legislature as a judge or as a lawyer or whatever, and basically glad handle and slap hands and do whatever to get yourself elected. Did that process ever bother you, doing it that way?
Not really. The first time around was challenging because it takes a lot of time, and if you're an attorney, you're stepping away from your practice and the time that you would be working and billing clients, and then going down to Columbia, day in and day out while they're in session and shaking hands, introducing yourself. It was a challenge. After the first time, much less of a challenge, and I'm very grateful that our delegation had no issues with me, and I did not have to even make a trip to Columbia this past time around. No one ran against me, which I'm grateful for that as well.
So the process is the same every 6 years.
Yes.
You have to go back down, particularly if you're challenged. Does that happen very often where somebody challenges another?
Not too often on a sitting judge.
Right.
If it does happen from time to time. Family court's pretty rare. And like I say, there's not that many people who are just dying to become a family court judge either. In fact, we still have an open position in the lower part of the state. Last year, we had a couple of attorneys who started the process and then backed out during the process. And so that seat is still vacant. It's going to open up again this year. I think some may not know how difficult the process itself can be with the application, because they want to know everything and anything about you. That includes financially, to make sure that you're in good shape such that you would be less likely to take a bribe from someone or something like that. You know, look at your record thoroughly. It was like getting a security clearance in the military. It was pretty thorough. But I'm just, yeah, glad that I've done it for the last time this past time. This is my last rodeo.
Last rodeo. But as you say, they have a mandatory retirement age of 72?
72 for judges.
Isn't that something? I've often thought, you know, if somebody has a good health, physically and mentally, that they've had all those years of experience. It's kind of like flying an airplane. They make you get out of there at 65 now. But experience is everything.
It is. It makes a big difference. And there's been some talk about raising that age, but I haven't heard anything recently about that.
Well, if they get a number of open seats that they can't fill them, they might be thinking about that.
They may have to.
So, you get this brand new building that you've had for 5 years. I don't know how it compares to the rest of the state, but I would think it would be tough to beat what we've got here.
I think we're the nicest standalone family court courthouse in the state. And what I mean by that is, they're like Spartanburg's got a new courthouse, but their courthouse has common pleas, general sessions, family court, all those things within one building. In our building, we are just family court.
That's it. So, do you have everything that you need as a family court judge in your county to do what you need to do? I mean, I know you'd like to have some more judges, I guess.
It would be nice, but, you know, we got so used to it being me just as the only resident judge that now that we have another, it's kind of cut the workload in half on some things, and that's the way it should have been anyway. But, you know, I think we're in pretty good shape overall when it comes to moving cases along. We got a good bar here in Rock Hill. Most of our attorneys are pretty civil with one another and work towards moving the cases. I found, in fact, that it's usually the clients who are the stubborn ones that kind of force the attorneys to have to go in and try a case, not just the attorneys. And across the state, there are some circuits where they have a high degree of conflict within the courtroom, and most of the time we're not that way.
Well, I think one of the best things that's happened to family court from on the outside looking in is the fact that you have the mandatory mediation, and you've got that 365-day rule, that if people are dragging their feet for whatever reason, the case is dismissed.
It is.
So that is an incentive to move the thing forward and get done what needs to get done. Well, David, thank you very much for being with us. We are going to recertify you for another 6 years.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We don't care what the legislature says. You've been approved here. Keep up the good work, and thanks for all that you do, because I know it's not an easy job. When you sit there day in and day out, and you have to see the emotions and deal with the emotions that families bring to that court.
It gets to you.
It gets to you, that's for sure. That's why the boy works out every day. Good for him. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Graves Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGraves.com. All right, we've got everybody here now. John Reinhart has run out of business cards, so he can't do anything but sit here. Buster has arrived, and so has Lughead. All right, we are ready. At the count of three, let's tell everybody what the heck we do here at Substation 2. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Well done. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.